This reporter, Rebecca, who got blocked, joins us now on WGN. Hi, Rebecca. You're on the air. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for having me.
What's your reaction to the conversation you've heard so far?
That indeed happened. The President of the United States personally blocked me, and I would like my First Amendment rights restored. So, all on the same page.
Yeah. Although, do you understand my point? I mean, I wonder what the greater offense is, him not being able to hear you or you not being able to hear him.
You know, to me, it's that no one else can hear me. And it's the, you know, who knows if he'll ever see my replies, but every other person who's tuning in to his Twitter account and responding and reading other people's responses, they're getting a very one-sided view of how people are responding to him. And I'm being denied the chance to really participate in that conversation in the same way. But
you are,
us, you know, both me and the audience, we're being hurt.
Yeah, although you and I both read the, I guess you still must gain access to his Twitter account, and the vast majority of the things posted there are uber critical of him. It's no love fest at real Donald Trump.
Well, it's, you know, either way, the First Amendment says that he can't block people from a public forum based on viewpoint. So, I mean, if anyone's willing to hit block enough times, you can turn that forum into whatever you want it to be. So if he kept going, I mean, that would create a real hazard. Anyone who tunes in who doesn't have an opinion yet or doesn't know what's going on would get the impression that it is a love fest.
Well, the president's attorney said essentially, say it was a convention hall and people are coming in to hear the president and the president to hear them. Only so many people can get in. Not everybody has equal access or unfettered access to the president. So so Twitter is just a virtual town hall meeting. What's the response to that?
Well, I mean, to me, it seems more like he's deciding who can speak at the town hall. It's not really, he's deciding who can even try to get access to him. And that's, you know, on the basis of what we think. And that's what's not allowed. I don't think it's so much like a conference as the town hall analogy, which is, you know, kicking someone out based on what they're saying.
Yeah, but
he's invited us there to share our opinion.
If I may, though, Rebecca, it seems to me like at the proverbial town hall meeting here, in fact, they do that. If you wanted to go to one of Trump's rallies, it seems to me those are very partisan affairs. There's not a lot of dissent at those things, right?
Sure.
And really, he's just doing the same thing on Twitter, in your case anyway. He's saying, I don't want that person.
Oh, no, but he's not.
Sure he is. He's saying, I don't want you in there because I don't like what you're saying.
Well, it's a difference, though, because he's not making official statements and he's not conducting official business through his rallies. He is through his Twitter account.
The
Department of Justice keeps a record of his tweets. The White House has said they should be treated as official statements. He's making policy via Twitter. So he's the one who's changed this into a sort of two-way interaction. That's not what you think you're going to get when you go to a rally, right?
No.
But that is what he's created by creating his Twitter account and by using it in his official capacity.
Got to admit, though, it's pretty cool to be blocked by the president, right? I mean, there's 330 million of us, and maybe he's blocked 100. It's sort of like, you know, not having your record played on the radio. Sales go up. Has this somehow increased your profile or prestige?
It certainly hurt me on Twitter as a journalist. And I've got to say, I'm less thrilled with it than chilled by it, because it's a scary thing to feel like the president personally suppressed my speech. But no, for me as a journalist, it's really important to be able to engage with people. I mean, that's the hot spot, the, you know, marketplace of ideas. So I have lost Twitter followers, had fewer opportunities to talk to other writers and editors in a sort of direct way. And immediately respond, and it makes me a little slower on my feet when it comes to analyzing what he's putting out on Twitter.
I understand that. It's a good answer. But in fact, the communication is just blocked between you and the president, right? You and I can tweet back and forth right now, correct?
Sure.
I understand the point, though, but more important that you hear from the president than a talk show host in Chicago. What did you make of the judge's resolution to this? The president, if he would be persuaded, should just mute you. You would still then have access to what he has to say.
I mean, I can only speak for myself as one of the group of plaintiffs, but for me, that wouldn't be a sufficient solution. My voice shouldn't be suppressed in any way in this forum that he's created, and I just want to be unblocked and unmuted and participate like any other citizen in this conversation.
So the complaint then is not just that the president can't see what you write, but you can't be involved in that conversation on his feed, correct? I mean, is that where the First Amendment comes in?
I mean, it's that, right, that you can't participate in the conversation, and that he's decided to omit us based on our viewpoint, which they've conceded, and that's kind of a startling thing, right? But no, I can't reply directly to the president. It's definitely an impediment to participating in conversations for the respond by his tweet.
Rebecca Buckwalter-Poza is a law and politics reporter for Politico, CNN, Democracy Journal. She writes on Latin and LGBT communities. Her website is Buckwalter-Poza, P-O-Z-A, B-U-C-K, BuckwalterPoza.com. Rebecca will stay in touch, and surely the judge will come up with a ruling soon. I understand maybe early this summer, so good luck to you, and let's stay in touch on this.
Thanks so much for having me on.